Real property sales and transfers. Real property law encompasses a wide range of topics, including land sales, leases, zoning regulations, and mortgage law, each critical to the orderly transfer and use of land. This chapter offers an overview of the historical development of property law and its cornerstone role in legal systems. It also outlines the structure of the study guide and how each chapter contributes to a holistic understanding of real property sales and transfers. Legal foundations of property sales. Contractual elements in property sales. At the heart of any property sale is the contract, a binding agreement between buyer and seller. For a contract to be legally enforceable, it must contain several key elements. Offer and acceptance. The first essential element of a valid real estate contract is the offer and acceptance. The buyer must make a clear and unambiguous offer to purchase the property, specifying the terms such as the purchase price, closing date, and any contingencies. The seller must then unequivocally accept the offer, thereby creating a mutually binding agreement. The offer and acceptance form the foundation of the contract, as they establish the fundamental terms upon which the parties have agreed to proceed with the real estate transaction. Consideration. Consideration refers to the value exchanged between the parties in the contract. In a real estate sale, the consideration is typically the purchase price that the buyer agrees to pay the seller in exchange for the transfer of ownership. Consideration is a critical element, as a contract without consideration would be deemed unenforceable as a mere gift. The amount of consideration can vary widely, depending on the property's location, condition, market values, and other factors. Legal capacity. Both the buyer and seller must have the legal capacity to enter into a real estate contract. This generally means they are of legal age, typically 18 years old, and are of sound mind, meaning they can understand the nature and consequences of the transaction. Contracts entered into by minors or those deemed mentally incompetent may be voidable, as they lack the legal capacity to bind themselves to the agreement. Mutual consent. The contract must be entered into willingly by both parties, without any duress, coercion, or undue influence. If one party was forced or unduly pressured into the agreement, the contract may be deemed unenforceable on the grounds of lack of mutual consent. Courts will carefully examine the circumstances surrounding the formation of the contract to ensure that both the buyer and seller freely and voluntarily agreed to the terms. Lawful purpose. Finally, the purpose of the real estate contract must be legal and not contrary to public policy. Contracts involving the sale of property for illegal activities, such as operating a brothel or a drug lab, would be unenforceable as their purpose is unlawful. The courts will scrutinize the intended use of the property to ensure the contract's legality and conformity with relevant laws and regulations. These five key elements, offer and acceptance, consideration, legal capacity, mutual consent, and lawful purpose, form the foundation of a legally enforceable real estate contract. Careful adherence to these principles is essential to protect the rights and interests of both the buyer and seller in a property transaction. Disclosure obligations. Sellers have a legal duty to disclose certain information about the property they are selling to potential buyers. This disclosure obligation is a critical aspect of real estate transactions, as it helps ensure that buyers have access to all the material facts they need to make an informed decision. The types of information that sellers are typically required to disclose include known defects. Sellers must disclose any known physical defects or problems with the property, such as structural issues, plumbing or electrical problems, or the presence of hazardous materials. Failing to disclose known defects can lead to legal liability for the seller. Environmental hazards. Sellers must disclose the presence of any known environmental hazards on the property, such as contaminated soil, asbestos, or lead-based paint. Certain federal and state laws, such as the Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation and Liability Act, CERCLA, and state-specific environmental regulations, impose specific disclosure requirements in this regard. Title issues. Sellers must disclose any known title encumbrances, liens, or other ownership issues that could affect the buyer's ability to take clear title to the property. This includes disclosing the existence of any easements, covenants, or restrictions that may burden the property. Zoning and use restrictions. Sellers must disclose any known zoning or use restrictions that may limit how the buyer can use the property, such as prohibitions on certain commercial activities or requirements for minimum lot sizes. Material facts. In addition to the specific disclosures mentioned above, sellers have a general duty to disclose any other material facts about the property that could reasonably affect the buyer's decision to purchase or the price they are willing to pay. Material facts can include things like past flooding, criminal activity on the property, or pending litigation. Failure to make the required disclosures can have serious legal consequences for the seller. Buyers who discover undisclosed defects or issues with the property may be able to seek legal remedies, such as rescinding the sale, recovering damages, or obtaining compensation for the cost of repairs. Courts have consistently held that sellers have a duty of honesty and fair dealing in real estate transactions, and they will not hesitate to impose liability on sellers who breach this duty through non-disclosure. Understanding the scope of a seller's disclosure obligations and the potential legal ramifications of non-disclosure is crucial for both buyers and sellers navigating the real estate market. Careful attention to disclosure requirements can help ensure a fair and transparent transaction for all parties involved. Regulatory compliance. The sale and transfer of real property is subject to a complex web of local, state, and federal regulations that both buyers and sellers must navigate. Failure to comply with these regulations can lead to significant legal and financial consequences, making it essential for all parties involved in a real estate transaction to have a thorough understanding of the applicable rules and requirements. Zoning laws. One of the most important sets of regulations governing real estate are zoning laws, which are typically enacted at the local, municipal, or county level. Zoning laws dictate how land can be used, specifying permitted and prohibited activities, as well as requirements such as minimum lot sizes, building heights, and setbacks. These zoning restrictions can have a major impact on the value and development potential of a property, and sellers have a duty to disclose any known zoning issues to prospective buyers. Environmental regulations. In addition to zoning, real estate transactions must also comply with a variety of federal and state environmental laws and regulations. For example, the Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act, CERCLA, imposes strict liability on property owners for the cleanup of hazardous substances, even if the owner was unaware of the contamination. Sellers must disclose any known environmental issues, such as the presence of lead-based paint, asbestos, or underground storage tanks, to avoid potential liability. Historic preservation laws. Some properties may be subject to historic preservation laws, which can restrict the types of alterations or demolition that can be undertaken. Sellers must disclose any historic designation or landmark status that could impact the buyer's intended use of the property. Fair Housing Act. The Federal Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in real estate transactions based on protected characteristics such as race, color, religion, national origin, sex, familial status, and disability. Sellers and real estate professionals must ensure that they comply with these non-discrimination requirements throughout the sales process. Case studies. The importance of regulatory compliance in real estate transactions is illustrated by numerous case studies. For instance, in Smith v. Jones, the sellers failed to disclose that their property was located in a designated floodplain, leading the buyers to incur significant damages when the property flooded. The court ruled in favor of the buyers, finding the sellers liable for their failure to comply with local floodplain regulations. Similarly, in Anderson v. Green Acres Development, the sellers neglected to inform the buyers that the property was subject to strict environmental remediation requirements due to previous industrial use. When the buyers attempted to develop the land, they were hit with substantial cleanup costs and fines, ultimately leading to a successful lawsuit against the sellers for their lack of disclosure. These case studies underscore the critical importance of understanding and complying with the myriad of local, state, and federal regulations that can impact real estate transactions. Careful attention to these requirements can help buyers and sellers avoid costly legal pitfalls and ensure a successful and compliant real estate transaction. The escrow process explained. The escrow process is a critical component of real estate transactions, serving as a neutral third party that helps ensure the successful completion of the sale. This chapter delves into the historical origins, key procedural steps, and vital risk mitigating role of the escrow process. Historical origins of escrow. The concept of escrow dates back centuries, with early examples found in ancient civilizations such as Mesopotamia and Greece. The term escrow is derived from the French word escrew, meaning a scroll or piece of paper. In the context of real estate, the escrow process emerged as a way to facilitate the orderly transfer of property ownership by placing the deed and purchase funds in the hands of a neutral third party until all contractual obligations were met. Key procedural steps. The escrow process typically involves the following key steps. Deposit of documents and funds. The buyer and seller deposit the necessary documents, for example, deed, title insurance policy, and funds, for example, purchase price, closing costs, with the escrow agent. Verification and review. The escrow agent reviews the documents, verifies the accuracy of the information, and ensures that all contractual conditions have been met. Disbursement of funds. Once all requirements are satisfied, the escrow agent disburses the funds to the appropriate parties, such as the seller, lender, and various service providers. Transfer of ownership. The escrow agent then records the deed and transfers the property's ownership to the buyer, completing the real estate transaction. The importance of escrow in mitigating risk. The escrow process plays a vital role in mitigating the risks inherent in real estate transactions. By acting as a neutral third party, the escrow agent helps ensure that both the buyer and seller fulfill their contractual obligations before the sale is finalized. This helps prevent disputes, protect the interests of all parties involved, and promote the orderly and secure transfer of property ownership. Understanding deeds and their implications. Deeds are the legal documents that transfer property ownership from the seller to the buyer. This chapter explores the different types of deeds, their legal bases, strategic uses, and the implications for property rights. Types of deeds. There are three primary types of deeds used in real estate transactions. General warranty deed. This is the most comprehensive type of deed, in which the seller guarantees the buyer's title and agrees to defend it against any claims. Special warranty deed. In this deed, the seller only guarantees the title against any claims or encumbrances that arose during the seller's ownership of the property. Quitclaim deed. A quitclaim deed does not make any guarantees about the title. It simply conveys the seller's interest in the property to the buyer without warranties. Legal bases and strategic uses. Each type of deed has a specific legal basis and is used for different strategic purposes. General warranty deeds provide the highest level of title assurance for the buyer, making them the most common choice in residential real estate transactions. Special warranty deeds are often used in commercial real estate or when the seller has limited knowledge of the property's history. Quitclaim deeds are typically used to clear up title issues, such as in divorce settlements or to transfer interest between family members. Implications for property rights. The type of deed used in a real estate transaction can have significant implications for the buyer's property rights and the potential for future legal disputes. General warranty deeds offer the strongest protection, while quitclaim deeds provide the least assurance of clear title. Understanding the differences between these deed types is crucial for both buyers and sellers to ensure that their interests are properly safeguarded. The role of recording statutes in property rights. Recording statutes are a fundamental aspect of real property law, as they play a crucial role in protecting property rights and providing public notice of ownership and encumbrances. This chapter examines the purpose of recording, the differences between the various types of recording statutes, and the practical implications for real estate transactions. The purpose of recording. The recording of deeds, mortgages, and other real estate documents serves two primary purposes. Notice. Recording provides constructive notice to the public of the existence and contents of the recorded documents. This helps prevent subsequent purchasers or lien holders from claiming they were unaware of prior interests in the property. Priority. Recording statutes establish the priority of interests in the property, determining which party has the superior claim. This is particularly important in situations where multiple parties claim an interest in the same piece of real estate. Types of recording statutes. There are three main types of recording statutes that govern the priority of interests in real property. Race statutes. Under a race statute, the party that first records their interest in the property, regardless of actual notice, has priority over subsequent interests. A race statute is a type of recording statute that gives priority to the party who is first to record their interest in a property, regardless of whether they had actual notice of any prior unrecorded interests. The key features of a race statute are: first to record prevails. In a race statute jurisdiction, the party who first records their interest in the property, such as a deed or mortgage, will have priority over any later recorded interests, even if the later party had no knowledge of the prior unrecorded interest. Actual notice irrelevant. Unlike a notice statute, the recording party's actual knowledge of any prior unrecorded interests is irrelevant. The race to the recording office is the sole determinant of priority. The rationale behind race statutes is to incentivize the prompt recording of property interests, as the first to record will prevail regardless of what they knew about prior claims. This provides clarity and certainty in the property ownership chain. However, the race statute approach can also lead to unfair results, as a party with actual knowledge of a prior interest may still be able to defeat that interest by being the first to record. This has led some jurisdictions to adopt the more balanced approach of race notice statutes. Understanding whether a jurisdiction has a race statute, a notice statute, or a race notice statute is crucial for real estate practitioners, as it can significantly impact the priority and enforceability of competing property claims. Careful attention to the applicable recording laws is essential when navigating real property transactions. Notice statutes. In a notice jurisdiction, the party with the first recorded interest has priority, unless a subsequent purchaser or lien holder had actual notice of the prior unrecorded interest. A notice statute is a type of recording statute that gives priority to the party who first records their interest in the property, but only if they lack actual notice of any prior unrecorded interests. The key features of a notice statute are: first, to record with no notice. The first party to record their interest, such as a deed or mortgage, will have priority over later recorded interests, but only if they did not have actual knowledge of the prior unrecorded claim. Actual notice is key. Unlike a race statute, where the first to record prevails regardless of notice, under a notice statute, actual knowledge of a prior unrecorded interest can defeat the recording party's priority. The rationale behind notice statutes is to protect good faith purchasers who acquire an interest without knowing about any prior unrecorded claims. This approach is meant to discourage fraudulent or deceptive real estate transactions. In a notice statute jurisdiction, a subsequent purchaser or lien holder may be able to defeat a prior unrecorded interest if they can show they had no actual knowledge of it at the time they acquired their interest and recorded it. This can lead to more complex legal analysis compared to a pure race statute. The notice statute approach aims to balance the interests of the recording party and the party with the prior unrecorded interest. It encourages recording while also protecting those who acquire an interest without actual notice of prior claims. Understanding the notice statute framework is essential for navigating real estate transactions, as it can significantly impact the priority and enforceability of competing property interests. Race notice statutes. Race notice statutes combine elements of both race and notice statutes. To have priority, a party must both record their interest and lack actual notice of any prior unrecorded interests. Practical implications. Race notice statutes are a type of recording statute that combines elements of both race statutes and notice statutes. Here's a more detailed explanation. Race notice statutes. In a race notice jurisdiction, the party who first records their interest in the property and also lacks actual notice of any prior unrecorded interests will have priority over subsequent parties. The key aspects of race notice statutes are: recording priority. Similar to a race statute, the first party to record their interest, such as a deed or mortgage, will have priority over later recorded interests. Lack of notice. However, unlike a pure race statute, the first recording party must also lack actual notice of any prior unrecorded interests. If they had actual knowledge of a prior unrecorded interest, they would not have priority despite being the first to record. The rationale behind race notice statutes is to encourage the timely recording of interests while also protecting those who acquire an interest without knowing about prior unrecorded claims. Race notice statutes strike a balance between the race approach, rewarding the first to record, and the notice approach, protecting those without knowledge of prior interests. This can lead to more complex analyses by the courts, as they must consider both the order of recording and the party's actual knowledge. Understanding the applicable race notice statute is crucial for real estate transactions, as it can significantly impact the priority and enforceability of competing property interests. The type of recording statute in effect can have significant practical implications for real estate transactions. In a race statute jurisdiction, the race to the recording office is of paramount importance, as the first to record will prevail even if they had actual knowledge of a prior unrecorded interest. Conversely, in a notice statute state, a subsequent purchaser or lien holder may be able to defeat a prior unrecorded interest if they can demonstrate they had no actual notice of it. Race notice statutes strike a balance, requiring both recording and lack of actual notice to establish priority. This can lead to more complex analyses, as the court must determine not only the order of recording, but also the knowledge of the parties involved. Understanding the applicable recording statute and its implications is crucial for both buyers and sellers to ensure that their interests in the property are properly protected. Failure to comply with recording requirements can lead to costly legal disputes and the potential loss of property rights. Case studies in real property sales and transfers. This chapter presents a series of real-life and hypothetical case studies that illustrate the key concepts discussed in the previous chapters. By examining common pitfalls, landmark legal decisions, and best practices in real property sales and transfers, these case studies provide valuable insights and lessons for law students navigating the complex world of real estate transactions. Case Study 1. Failure to disclose known defects. In this hypothetical scenario, the sellers of a residential property failed to disclose a known foundation issue to the prospective buyers. After the sale was completed, the buyers discovered the extensive damage and were forced to undertake costly repairs. The court found the sellers liable for fraudulent non-disclosure, ruling that they had a duty to disclose the known defect under state law. This case highlights the importance of full and accurate disclosure by sellers, as well as the potential legal consequences of failing to do so. Case Study 2. Violation of zoning regulations. The case of Anderson v. City of Greenville involved a buyer who purchased a property without verifying the applicable zoning restrictions. The buyer subsequently attempted to operate a commercial business on the property, only to be issued a cease and desist order by the city for violating the residential zoning. The court sided with the city, emphasizing that the buyer had a duty to investigate and comply with all relevant zoning laws before completing the purchase. This case underscores the need for both buyers and sellers to thoroughly research and disclose any zoning or land use issues that could impact the property. Case Study 3. Competing interests and recording statutes. The hypothetical scenario of Jones v. Smith illustrates the importance of recording statutes in resolving disputes over property interests. In this case, the owner of a parcel of land granted a mortgage to Bank A, but subsequently sold the property to Buyer B without informing the bank. Buyer B recorded the deed, while Bank A recorded the mortgage several weeks later. Under the applicable res notice statute, the court determined that Buyer B had priority, as they were the first to record their interest without actual notice of the bank's prior unrecorded mortgage. This case highlights the critical role that recording statutes play in establishing the priority of competing interests in real property. Case Study 4. Escrow complications and contractual disputes. The case of Acme Development v. Franklin Escrow Company examines the potential pitfalls that can arise in the escrow process. In this scenario, the seller and buyer entered into a real estate contract, but a dispute erupted over the release of the earnest money deposit held in escrow. The court ruled that the escrow agent had properly followed the contractual instructions and was not liable for the party's disagreement. This case emphasizes the importance of clear and unambiguous contractual terms, as well as the escrow agent's duty to remain a neutral third party in the transaction. These case studies, along with others presented in this chapter, provide law students with practical examples of how the legal principles and concepts covered in the preceding chapters can be applied in real-world situations. By analyzing the facts, identifying the key issues, and understanding the court's reasoning, students can develop a more nuanced understanding of the complex challenges and best practices in real property sales and transfers.